This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. When I'm doing chicken outreach or chicken talks, after the first round of questions about eggs, noise, and poop, one of the next common questions is, how long do chickens live? I have to confess, for many years, I think I exaggerated chicken life expectancy. I had read long ago, probably in my pre-chicken or vegan days, possibly on the Farm Sanctuary website, that chickens live 10 to 12 years. Which turns out is possible, but the same way it's possible for humans to live to 105 or so. It happens, but it's noteworthy when it does. As most of my listeners know, chicken life expectancy is as debatable as it is because the vast majority of chickens, certainly all chickens in large commercial operations, as well as most in homesteading or sustainability flocks, are culled, as they say. Used for meat or soup stock or pet food when egg production falls off and the minimal cost of feed and lodging exceeds the income provided by eggs, usually around 2 years. Meanwhile, factory type hens, bred to quickly reach slaughter weight or lay eggs young and prolifically, are notorious for keeling over from heart attacks or complications from broken limbs or whatever after 2 or 3 years, even if they aren't culled. Anecdotally, sturdier heritage and hobby breeds are said to live much longer, but still traditionally have been culled for food or by predators in the past. But with the rise of chickening as a hobby, where the bottom line is less critical, many backyard birders are pushing the life expectancy and egg-laying envelopes. Indeed, what got me finally fact-checking was news from Bucky correspondent Kevin Bayhouse regarding one of the original Bacall flock, who I left in his capable care when I moved from Idaho back to New York City. Quincy was one of the most charismatic hens I've ever met. Kevin told me she had exhibited a dramatic slowdown as winter set in. He thought maybe she just had a cold or something and took her in the house for some coddling, but after a short while she quietly expired in her 8th year, which turns out to be pretty good for a chicken. I asked a few of my veteran chickener friends and did a little scouring of chicken message boards, and it seems that many report as little as 5 years is the average range in their pampered flocks, raised in moderate climates. Others report more along the lines of 7 or 8. Clearly, there are breed differences and also quality of care issues. And folks who say they spoil their chickens may actually be stingy on feed or lazy with care, where folks who claim benevolent neglect may actually be fussing more than they admit. And anecdotal data is really all we have, as scientific studies of life expectancy according to breed and controlled for stuff like diet, climate, etc., are non-existent. But what's more interesting to me than the raw data is the stories folks have to tell about their senior chickens. Whether the senior chickens are in the flock because the chickeners have done everything they could think of to extend the beloved pet's life, or whether the story starts with, well, we just don't have the stomach to cull, but this one chicken always escaped predators and never got sick. Either way, stories of the hen's unique personalities and habits follow. As for Quincy, she was a golden Sebright, what I considered the top breed before I discovered Cerama, and which for some people I still recommend. Golden Sebright is an original United States breed of small bantam, just a little bit bigger than the miniature Cerama, and mostly bred for ornamental value with their fine black rim feathers and noble features, but not without their own agricultural credits. I liked Quincy right away, and was a little unsettled when, as a juvenile, she started crowing. It happened to be right around Christmas time, and I was mentally preparing myself for rehoming or dispatching of yet another rooster, when on New Year's Day, she laid an egg. She was always a bit of a gender bender, sometimes exhibiting roostery behaviors. One of the episodes I used to repeat or rewrite and recycle annually about transgender chickens was inspired by Quincy. I'll have to revisit the topic soon. Quincy was also a member of the three-hen variation on the famous pecking order, which I dubbed the Circle of Hate. Neem, the chicken I had around the longest, was bossed around by Quinoa, the largest of the flock of bantams. But she was the boss of Quincy, although Quincy never totally accepted that. On the other hand, Quincy, although quite small and with the least seniority, was very dominant towards Quinoa. I thought it would be fun to develop hand signals for each hen and break stalemates on decision-making with a variation on the old rock-paper-scissors game. Kevin got to watch Quincy many more years than I, and added some stories to that, as follows, I quote, She hated snow, and she really didn't like walking in it. So she would step up to the ramp at breakfast time and fly to breakfast instead. She would even fly from the roost by the back fence to the coop at night when the others went in, if the snow was too deep. Smaller chickens often tend to be better flyers, by the way. Kevin added she would also escape over the back fence to hunt outside next to the alley, and my neighbors would pick her up and put her back over the fence. After a while, she gave that up and stayed in. She was the smartest one of the bunch. She knew how to beat my tall fence until I installed the Supermax netting on top. He installed a curved netting. She used to just take a run and start, make a little helicopter, and then just barely get over the top of the fence. He said it only took her 5 minutes after he installed the hooked fence to know that she was beaten and never tried to climb again. Kevin reports she used poop as a weapon by striking it with her beak, golf club style, at her target, which was usually Kevin. Kevin was struck by how fast she could half run and half fly across the yard, which he compared to fighter pilots on the deck. Kevin also describes watching her go Dilophosaurus, which is how Kevin vividly and accurately, if I do say myself, describes her expanding her neck feathers to look menacing, kind of like the way some modern lizards do, which effectively scares cats, doves, neighbors, and other intruders into the yard. Finally, he says she almost beat the circle of hate by beginning to do the Karate Kid stance, standing on one leg and flapping her wings. For a while it worked, and then Neem got over being scared of it. Now, for all you master slaughterers out there rolling your eyes, I do respect the chickener's desire for sustainability, giving our hens a good chickeny life until such time as we feel the inputs aren't matching the outputs, is a noble approach to animal agriculture, as I've come to believe. But I also have a special affinity for those who like to keep their hens around for as long as they can. Some folks coddle their prized birds, and that's cool. But most just afford the same minimal care the rest of the flock receives, and the sturdy ones tend to stick around. And I'd propose that that strategy is not as much of an indulgence as some might say. After all, senior chickens do lay some eggs, even if it is only one or two a week as compared to younger hens, 5 to 7. And senior hens still till your soil, scratching for weeds and bugs to eat, and then convert that feed into fertilizer and compost pile accelerating poop. Senior hens definitely add diversity of personality to your flock. Character seems to develop with age throughout chickeny lives, and because chickens are flock animals, a distinguished character in the chicken yard will shift the whole flock zeitgeist, moderating the fight and flight hysterics of a mostly young hen group. Even in the cases where the older ones crack the mysteries of fencing and crop rotation, I'd argue they're providing a security check service on your management techniques, like in Kevin's fencing story. And finally, in the case of breeding flocks, the odd egg, hatched from a long lifer, is probably a positive genetic addition to the henhouse gene cocktail. To a degree, I guess I am advocating for those who can to extend the lives of their most interesting hens. But I'm also encouraging young chickeners that they don't have to cull ruthlessly in order to make good on their investment, which seems to be one of the concerns of tentative would-be chickeners, especially those with children. And in closing, to follow up on my last episode, where I raised my concern about the growing number of cities outlawing chickens and my hopes for more legalizations in 2012, this week brought the good news that Nashville, Tennessee and Ferndale, Michigan just legalized chicken keeping. May their chickeners have many wise old chicken stories to tell in 5 or 8 years. Meanwhile, the legality of chickens appears to be imminent for approval in Delaware, Ohio, is being hotly revisited in Northbrook, Illinois, and sadly was banned in LaSalle, Illinois. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time.